Love you, Pastor Carl. Man, he nailed that, didn't he? I love announcements. I love knowing what God's doing in the church. Something to look forward to. It's so cool to see all of y'all this morning. Oh, man. God is good, isn't he? Amen. So if you guys haven't been around for the last, couple of months, Pastor Bill, our senior pastor, was giving everyone forewarning that he was going to take a month sabbatical in the month of June, and that's right now. So he's on sabbatical right now. He's doing that because he prayed about it. He talked to some of all of our overseers and elders, and he talked to them about it. They all encouraged him to do it, to take a month sabbatical. A lot of senior pastors do it, just to pull away and just fast and pray, seek God, and be ministered to. And how many of you know he ministers to us? Amen. He does. So, amen. You can give honor where honor is due, is what the Bible says. So anyway, he handed the reins over to us pastors and the leadership team. So praise God, the building is still up, not burnt down. Glory to God, it's great. No, it's going to be a good time this month. In fact, this month is our month. We're doing a series on encouragement. Encouragement. Oh, man. So you picked a good Sunday to come. And I hope you come every Sunday during this month because it's going to be an awesome ride. It's going to be a great time, especially on Father's Day in a couple of weeks. Our very own Pastor Carl is going to give a very encouraging message to all the fathers out there. Being a father is rough, it's hard, it's not easy, and we just want to encourage you guys. We're not going to give you a message that's going to beat you up and make you feel bad. No, we're going to encourage you and build you up, and we're going to be praying all week for you guys, all month for you guys. It's going to be a great time. Awesome. If you need sermon notes, they're in your worship guide. But if you don't have one, raise your hand up high. The ushers would be happy to bring you some. Raise them up high. Oh, wow, you guys are prepared. Oh, go ahead, raise them up high so that you can get one. Awesome. Today, our theme verse for this series comes out of the book of Hebrews. It's a fascinating book in the Bible. It was written around 70 A.D. It was written, we don't even know who wrote it. There are lots of scholars who speculate and try to figure it out. Some people believe it was Paul. Some people believe it was a lot of other disciples, but we just don't know. But we do know in the Bible that it says, in Hebrews, that it says that they never met Jesus face to face. Like, these are Christians in Hebrews, and the writer is a Christian who actually never saw Jesus and met Jesus face to face. So, like us, we believe, as Christians, we believe because we've heard someone else's testimony, we've heard the gospel, and it's like, wow, okay, you're saying Jesus, like, was the Son of God, and he died for our sins, and he after 3 days, he rose again, and he can forgive us of our sins, and make me right with God so I can be in heaven with him. And when you believe that, it's like, wow, you become part of the family of God. Like, we can relate to that. Like, these people in Hebrews, they are like second generation believers. They never met Jesus, but they met Jesus through the testimony of others, through the witness of others. And that's what we're like now. We're several generations down believers. And it's just so awesome. So these young believers are actually being heavily persecuted, heavily. They're being persecuted to the point where they're about to give up. And that's what the book of Hebrews is about. They're about to give up. I've got a little ring that I'm hearing. I don't know if you guys can hear it. It's kind of bothering. Richard, I'm sorry, man. I'm hearing a ring. But they're about to give up. And they're being so persecuted. How many of you ever felt like giving up before? Just be real. Come on now. Okay, half of you, you guys must have perfect lives if you ain't never been up. I felt like this week I was just battling with discouragement, battling with it. I was like, man, what is going on this week? Oh, I'm giving a message on encouragement. That's why. That's what happens. You got to be tested in it. So this book is being written to Hebrews to encourage them to not go back to this old religious way of doing stuff. Like, you came to Christ. Don't go back to the old ways of doing things. That's going to lead to more discouragement, more despair. That's going to leave you like just, you're going to lose your life because of it. If you just keep going backwards, you got to go forward. Don't give up. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. It's a fascinating book. I encourage all of you to read it. We're going to take a snapshot out of it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. In your notes, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." And the hope that they're talking about is the hope of salvation, the hope of going to heaven. They called it the blessed hope, actually. It was the one thing that they could really look forward to because they were being heavily persecuted. Like, many of them were being killed, okay? For he who promised is faithful. That's God. He is faithful. And let us consider, so what do? We're holding on to hope. We're trusting God. But let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And the day is capitalized. It's referring to the day that Jesus returns, the day we get to be in heaven, the day we get to be in his presence. It's a glorious thing to look forward to. So the title of this Sunday's message is Hold On to Hope. Hold on to hope. Like when you're going through trials, hold on to hope. If you're going through a struggle, hold on to hope. If you're going through the valley, hold on to hope. If you got a mountain face in front of you, hold on to hope. If you got sickness in your body, hold on to hope. If you got that person you've been praying for years and years and years and you haven't seen a change, hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. Don't let go. I've heard people say, yeah, I ask them, how are you doing? They go, I'm hanging on. I'm hanging on. I go, well, don't let go. Don't let go. And they go, okay, I get what you said there. And it's like, yeah, I know, but it's true. Like, when you're hanging on, don't let go. Just hold on to hope. God's going to see you through. Where do you place your hope? I was thinking about it this week. Where do I place my hope? Do you place it in government? Do you place it in politicians? Do you place it in your job, that you hope that your business isn't going to go out of business, that you're going to keep your job? Where do you place your hope in people? You can. It's hit or miss, right? It's hit or miss. With the affairs of life, it's hit or miss. There's one place that we can place our hope where we are never ashamed to place our hope, in that one place. We're never really truly let down if we place our hope in this one place, and that place is God. It's in God. We can rest assured that his promises are sure, that we can take it to the bank. If God said it, he's going to follow through on it. He is faithful. He is faithful. You know, the word hope is found 180 times in the Bible. 180 times. And the vast majority of times it's about people. It says, it's usually a psalmist or someone in the Bible saying, I'm placing my hope in God. I'm not giving up. And other times it's in the Bible, it's like, I placed my hope in someone else and they failed me. It's like, anywhere else you place your hope, it's like, it's not going to last. It's not going to help you out. But hope in God will help you out. So there are four keys that I've put in your notes. Four keys. Keys to hold on to hope. And if you would, write this down. The first key is this. Remember that God is faithful to fulfill his promises. Remember that God is faithful to fulfill his promises. We see that in Hebrews that we just read. Verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. I was looking at that word, unswervingly, and I was thinking, the first image I got was me and my, years ago, me and my 95 Honda Civic driving on the road, and I see this obstruction in the road in front of me, and I was in Jacksonville, and so there's highways everywhere, so if there's an obstruction in the road, that's not good. That's not good. So I swerved out, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what is that? You know, a couch or something that fell off of someone's truck when they were moving. I mean, it's like, this is dangerous, and I swerve. And it was like, whoa, that almost took me out. Don't you know that the devil is going to put obstructions in your way? They're going to try to take you out, try to discourage you, try to derail you and get you off the road of the road that God's called you on? Now, think about it this way. I was in a 95 Honda Civic. That probably wouldn't have done so well. But what if I was in a tank? Yeah, my mind went there. I was thinking about a tank. Oh, I like tanks. They're big. They're strong. Modern tanks, they weigh 63 tons. Yeah. Yeah. 63 tons. It's awesome. Like, that couch would have been destroyed. I mean, I would have been like, what? A little, speed bump. And what was that? Ah, driven right through it. In our faith, we got to view ourselves like that. Like, the promises that God has for us, the hope that we have in God, it should fortify us. It should build up our faith. It should say, all right, I'm this tank. I don't care what the devil's putting in front of me. I'm going to bulldoze through this thing. I've got the victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm preaching about 70% better than you're amening right now. It is true, though. It is true. I just love how faithful God is. He's faithful. If he's promised it in his word, he will bring it to pass. Even if it takes time. So many scriptures that talk about waiting patiently for God to fulfill his promise. Patiently waiting on God. So whenever we have to wait, God is doing a deep work in our hearts at that time. And he's trying to teach us, you can trust me. I know it's not working out like you thought it would. You can trust me. I know. See, it's all about relationship. This is not a religion. It's a relationship. It is about relationship. Relationship is built on trust. And God tests us in life, not to just test us and bring us to the ringer. It's like, oh, God, again? No, that's not what it's about. It's to put a hope inside of us and understand that God is faithful. He will see us through. He wants us to trust him, have faith in him. Psalm 119, 116. I love this verse. I came upon it in my studies. Sustain me, my God. According to what? Your promise. See, there are promises in God's word. And if you want to have, if you want to keep going, listen, this world will beat us down. The trials of life, they can beat us down. They can discourage us. If you want to be sustained, if you want to be have life and hope renewed, you got to feed, literally, feed on the word of God. Got to let it revive you. Oh, I want to encourage you. The more you read the Bible, the more it reads you. I was so discouraged this week through various things that happened. But God just reminded me of this verse and said, just go to my promises. And the Bible says, God causes all things to work together for my good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That encouraged me. God's going to work it all out. God is faithful. I don't have to worry about it. God's going to see me through. God's going to see you through. It's just, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. But the thing about this, we've gone through life, and we've gone through a lot of life and experienced a lot of things. And there are times when we prayed for stuff and it hasn't happened, right? Anyone else experience that? We pray for stuff and it hasn't happened. Why hasn't it happened, God? Why? That in itself is a test. That it is. Sometimes we pray for stuff and it's outside of God's will. Sometimes we pray for stuff and we think it is in God's will, right? I mean, there are two times I prayed for someone's healing who were literally on their deathbed. And I was praying and believing for them to be healed so they wouldn't die. They ended up dying. It's like, God, what? You said in your word that they would be healed. What's going on? Here's the thing. God is sovereign. He is good. And if he desires to take someone home with him, we cannot change that. We can't. Now, if there's more for them to do, then we can absolutely believe that God is going to heal them. But ultimately, it is up to God, right? It is up to God. So when we hope, we have to be humble. I should have made that a key that I put down. When we hope, we have to be humble because we have to accept God's plan. Do we still have faith and belief for healing? Yes, always, because we don't know everything in God's plans. And I've seen people supernaturally healed right in front of me when I prayed for them. But I can't control it. It's God who does the healing. Whatever you're going through, you can trust that in the end, God's going to work it out. He's going to make it right. It's going to be good. It's going to be for your good. You can trust God's promises. You can trust God's promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, and he's made a lot of promises in his word, they are yes in Christ. In our relationship with Jesus, they are yes. Like, Christ is going to fulfill it, either in this life or in eternity. You say, well, I haven't received justice for the wrong that's been done to me. It's going to happen. You may not experience it all fulfilled in this life, but for eternity, which, by the way, listen, we are eternal beings living a temporary experience here on earth. We are eternal beings living a temporary experience here on earth. You got to keep that in mind. Please, don't fall in love with this world so much that you care so much about your life that you ignore eternity and just forget. Eternity is a long time, right? Would have gone anyway. It's a long time, and our life here on this earth is like that. It's just we're here and we're gone. Okay, eternity is a long time. Hold on to hope. It's going to be fulfilled. His promises will always be fulfilled, whether in this life or in the age to come. Eternal life. It's just going to happen. And so through him, through God and his promises, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. The amen. Amen. You know that this word amen, you're literally speaking, when you say amen, you're speaking ancient Hebrew. Like, that's the exact same word. It's been transliterated, and every language that the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, has been translated in, every language has kept that word the same. Amen. It is literally the most world wide known word in the world. Like, the whole world knows this word, amen, and use it exactly the same, amen. Why? Why? Because of what it means. God purposely made it that way, where literally the entire world, like 7 billion people, would all have this same word to mean the same thing. I took this quote directly from Strong's Concordance about the word amen, and this will help you. Listen, it's key to holding on to hope. You got to get his promises in your heart. Amen was a custom which passed over from the synagogues to the Christian assemblies, that when he who had read or discourse had offered up solemn prayer to God, the others responded, amen. We did that today. I said a prayer, you guys said amen. Amen. There you go. And thus made the substance of what was uttered their own. Like, when you say amen to a prayer, it's not just, when you say amen, it's like you're taking what was prayed and you're putting it in your heart and it's becoming a part of you. And you're believing it. That's what amen means. There's a guy in the Bible who knew a lot about trials and tests, and oh my gosh, it was King David. King David, he was anointed as king when he was like between the age of 10 and 15, most Bible scholars say. 10 and 15 was when he was anointed as king. He didn't become king until he was 30. So for 15 to 20 years, he's literally running for his life because the former king, King Saul, was trying to kill him. It's crazy. Even though he served Saul obediently and faithfully and only did good to Saul, he was betrayed by Saul. Saul was envious, insecure leader. Anyone ever been a leader like that, but ever come across leaders like that? That's rough. But let alone they're trying to kill you. That's even harder. And here's David. And this is literally just not much time before. He doesn't know this. David doesn't know this. When I'm reading this passage, here's the context. He doesn't know that he's going to become king soon. He doesn't know when it's going to happen. God promised it. He doesn't know when. He goes to this. He's in exile. He has a bunch of men surrounding him who have been following him, like other rejects of society. And they're around him, and they go and they fight for him. All their families get taken from him. And it's at the city of Ziklag is where he's at. And they all get there. And all the families are gone. And these guys are ticked off at David. Like, you said God would protect us. You said God, you know, we would win this battle. And they did not expect to have their families taken from them. Even David's families were taken from them. They were very discouraged. 1 Samuel chapter 30 says this. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Like, they were going to kill him. Crazy. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Would you underline that? David found strength in the Lord his God. No matter what you're going through, I mean, people may be trying to kill you, surrounding you, talking nasty about you, whatever it is, you're going through a hard time, you can find strength in the Lord. What David did, he remembered the promises of God. There's so many psalms that he wrote right when he was in distress, and he would end the psalms talking about how faithful God was, how faithful he was. It's so important to remember that God is faithful to fulfill his promises. Second key to this, to holding on to hope, focus our hearts outward. Focus our hearts outward. Say, what? What does that have to do with hope? Oh, it has a lot to do with hope. Because what discourages you the most? When you just start inwardly thinking about all the things that is just not right, you start comparing your life to other people's lives, you think the grass is greener on the other side, but really, it all becomes introspective, and you start attacking yourself, attacking your self-worth, attacking, like, basically believing a bunch of lies about yourself that God never said about you. Like, God didn't make any mistakes when he made you. That's the truth. That's the truth. So when our hearts are just focused inward to ourselves, that's where discouragement and despair come in every time. If we're selfish and self-centered and prideful, we will not experience the blessing of God. We will always be hopeless. It's just the reality. But if we get our hearts focused outward to other people, there's something amazing that can happen when we start ministering to others and loving others. God ministers back to us. It ministers to us. Have you ever done something really good for someone and you just see how it touches their heart and they thank you for it, and something on the inside of you just goes, oh, man, truly the Bible is true when it says it's better to give than to receive. It just is. To get my heart focused outward to others. Hebrews 10:24, going back to that verse, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Love is outwardly focused. Always. It is not internally focused. It's outwardly focused. It's literally about the best and doing the best for others. Good deeds are outwardly focused, and they will help you combat discouragement and despair. This whole week, when I was going through kind of my season of discouragement this week, I kept running into people who are homeless and asking for help, and I was like, and God just challenged me, focus on them. Like, actually, don't ignore them when I'm just sitting at the stoplight. Like acknowledge them, because they're created in the image and likeness of God. And read their sign. Like, don't ignore them. I was like, okay, God, usually I feel really guilty, right? You ever been at a stop sign and you kind of ignore the person and you just drive through? And you're like, could I have done something? And you just move on and you're just like, And God was just challenging me, don't do that. Just look and acknowledge. And if you have something that you can give them, what God showed me is, obviously, I don't want to fund any addiction that they have. But most of the signs say anything will help. And God just showed me, hey, you have an extra bag of King's Hawaiian bread that I bought. I bought two for $6 at Publix. It was awesome. I got this second bag. I handed it to the guy. Hey, do you want some bread? And he goes, yeah. He looks at it and goes, ooh. Everyone loves King's Hawaiian bread. It's awesome. It's awesome. And it just blessed him. I said, God bless you, man. Tie it into the gospel. God bless you. There was a guy, we're driving in the parking lot. Me and Michael Cranes were hanging out after church, we're hanging out. And we're driving through Arby's and getting some food. And there's this guy that was he was on his bike, and we knew. You just kind of know when someone's going to come up, and you can tell they're going to ask you for help of some kind, okay? And I encourage you, don't get annoyed with them at that, because they're desperate, obviously. They're walking up to strangers for help. How many of you walk up to strangers for help? You're not desperate. You're not. If you're desperate, you help me. Help me, okay? So they're desperate. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw people in desperate situations. We're Christians. All right, so, like, I was sitting there with Michael, and I was like, all right, let's help him out. Bought him some food, worked out with the lady. She made sure to, you know, we paid for it. She took it out to him. And we parked him and got out of the car, and we were just talking to him. His name was David. I was like, that's my son's name, David. Awesome. And he was telling me, yeah, I got this job lined up to do some lawn care, and it's starting tomorrow. I was like, oh, that's great, man. And God just laid it on our hearts to just stand there and just pray with him, right? It's one thing to say, God bless you. So it's one thing. It's another to say, here's some food to meet a need. God bless you. And let me pray for you. And let me bless you. And just pray that God would restore dignity back to him. Dignity. That he would get the joy of just, you know, earning that paycheck and working hard and just God blessing his, you know, giving him a return on that labor. There's profit in all labor, the Bible says. So, and I just prayed those blessings over him. You know, we were all tearing up. It was awesome. It was great. And let me tell you, I was encouraged. It blessed me. It put a smile on my face. It was just awesome. And I know it blessed him too. You have your heart's focus outward. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. So what do we do when we minister to others? We're valuing them as valuable above ourselves. Not looking to our own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. It's about having your heart focus outward. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Amen. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. So don't go back to being selfish and prideful after you've gotten free. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. So, like we're preaching on it today, teaching on today, but let's put our money where our mouth is. We got a serve day planned on July 14th. July 14th. There's an insert in your worship guide. I should have it here. I thought I brought it up. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. So it says here, Serve Day is an amazing opportunity to bless others and be blessed in return. Thousands of churches. Here's what's going to happen. Literally, the Association of Churches were part of ARC, the Association of Related Churches. They do a national Serve Day where they all put on like these red shirts and they go out and just bless people in the community. Can you start putting up those pictures up there? You know, go to police department, just pray with the police officers. Come on, they need some encouragement right now, for sure, right? Or go to a house and just do some painting. You know, just minister someone's needs. Or load, you know, this is a picture of them loading up supplies for hurricane victims, right? Oh, I love this. One person's, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. This guy's, you know, only 35, I think. And but he's doing what he can do. He's serving. And they said, no, put it back on that last one. Sorry. And then the lady on the right, you know, she's it looks like she may be picking up some trash or helping. But what else is she doing? She's ministering to a lady. You see, like, we're going to ask people to sign up because we got some building projects. We're going to build some ramps for some people who need, like, who have disabilities and stuff, or maybe some widows. You know, the Bible says minister to widows and orphans. That's true religion. So we're going to do that. But we need people to sign up before we can commit to any projects. Like, just let us know what you can do. But there's places on there to be what? There's a category to be a prayer warrior. Like, we need people committing to prayer. Because we can't do anything without God. We need prayer. We need God to help us pull it off. We need people who are going to commit to minister to the people there. To be, what did we call them? We had a cool name for it. Conversationalists is what we called it. We need people who got the gift of gab. Come on now. We need people who just love other people. And maybe you don't have the ability to build something. You're not gifted like that. Or maybe you don't have the strength to rake leaves or to bag something. But you have a voice and you have a heart. And you can talk to the person that we're ministering to while someone else is serving them. And physically, you can serve them emotionally and spiritually. You can pray with them. You can strike up a conversation. Just love them. Come on, we're the most loving, accepting church family in the whole world. We promise not to love you and accept you or judge or criticize you, but not just in church, outside the four walls of our church. Amen. So if you hear a survey and you go, that's not me. Obviously, if you work that day, you work that day, and we understand. But I would love for everyone in this room to mark, go into the lobby after church, and actually write your name and your t-shirt size, because we're going to have some awesome t-shirts for you. All right? And write down what you could bring, what gifts you can bring. Potential projects include yard work, painting, building ramps, stairs, small home repairs, and prayer ministry. Like, there's practical stuff, but then there's the emotional, spiritual side of it too. We want prayer warriors, conversationalists, helpers. There'll be people. Maybe you could just bring some cold bottled water to someone who's working really hard. We're going to need helpers like that. Builders, yard workers, and team leaders. Hey, got a gift of leadership? You like to lead team? You like to boss people around in a loving way? Hey, we got to get this thing done. Come on. Hey, come on. You like to do that? Chris Gentleman, I'm looking at you. Anyway. You like to do it? Be a team leader. Team leader what? It doesn't matter. Just lead some people. We're going to need some help. We're going to need to bring this together. I'm going to be working this, my butt off. I'm working my butt off. I'm saying that in church. I'm working my butt off this month to coordinate with Christians Concerned for the Community, awesome ministry in the city of Gainesville and Alachua County, to coordinate this. But we got to get people signed. I got to know what we're working with. Otherwise, we cannot commit as a church to any project. They're waiting on us. They said, all right, here's the opportunity. What can you bring? What can you bring? What can you bring? Let's get our hearts focused outward. Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be awesome. So, show the next picture. Just imagine just an army of red shirt Christian believers out there serving. We're huddling. We're praying. Let's get this done. Can you just imagine that? Let's go minister to some people. Let's go love some people into God's kingdom in a practical way. Literally hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people are going to converge on their cities on that day. And maybe you just find that this is something that you really, really love. You'd love to do it. I encourage you. Find out first. Sometimes you won't know you love something until you try it. try it. And this may be something you want to keep doing, and we'll figure that out after serve day. We'll see if we can have serve small groups or whatever small groups you're in. You can turn it into a serve team yourself, come up with a great project, okay? Third key to holding on to hope. Oh, that fired me up. I love it. Third key to hold on to hope, find encouragement in Christian community. Find encouragement in Christian community. Hopefully that's why you come to church. It's encouraging, get in God's presence, you worship God, and you get along with fellow believers, and it's just like, let's do this together. Love it. Hebrews 25, it says this, not giving up meeting together. Don't give up. Hold on. As some are in the habit of doing, let's break that habit. If attending small groups is just hit or miss, let's break that habit. Let's commit to small groups. Let's commit to community. Commit to encouraging one another. Make it happen. Why? Because Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loves at all times. You got to have people around you that are going to love at all times, that are going to be your friends. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. You got to have some family around you. When you're going through something, you're not going through it alone. You know what? I love my wife, Lelaine. Oh, she must be nursing David. Hey, babe. She walks in. What? You said my name? Wow, good timing. I'm going to give you honor this morning. You're awesome. You're my best friend. I love you. And she was here. I told you this week was very discouraging. All right? I was going through some stuff. But God was doing a deep work in my heart, and it was good. But my best friend, my wife, was right there to listen what I was going through. And she just prayed with me. She prayed with me. She even got our son Gabriel to come up, tried to get him to pray with me. He was like, no. It's like, all right, I forgive you. You're two. But when you get three, you better. No, I'm just kidding. And she just prayed with me. I just felt God comforting me. I'm telling you, when you're going through stuff, you got to have a friend. Spouses, be your best friend. Just make your best friend your spouse. And don't come up with any excuses. Well, Pastor Mike, you don't know what they said or did, or you don't, you know, it's like, listen, we've all made mistakes. Forgive. Let it go. Don't let something divide you to where God's given you a best friend. And if you're single, don't worry, I'm not leaving you out. First of all, our best friend is Jesus, whether we're married or not. Always. I'm sorry, always. Yes. Always. Our best friend is Jesus. We got the Holy Spirit to be there for us. Always. But you got to be in Christian community. Everyone has access to the family of God. Everyone. And what we do here at church is we do small groups. You can do stuff outside of small groups. But we have a structure in place so that you can actually use it. So you can be connected. So take advantage of it. It's awesome. I love it. I love my small groups. I can be real in my small groups. What happens in small groups stays in small groups. They protect you. I love that. Romans 1, verse 11 says, I long to see you. This is Paul talking to this church, you know, these Christians in Rome. The Apostle Paul, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Like, I want to connect with you in small groups so that I can impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. Yeah. That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Like, that's what small groups is really about. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to encourage one another. Our small group semester, it starts June 3rd. It ends July 14th. We have it only 6 weeks in the summer because, hey, you guys travel in the summer. I get it. We get it. A lot of plans happen in the summertime. So it's 6 weeks. But if you're going to commit to it, commit to it. Right? Dive into it. You're going to be blessed. You'll get out of small groups what you put in. I guarantee you. If you come and say, what can I bring to this conversation, to loving these people? If you get your heart focused outward and just say, all right, I'm going to dive into Christian community. They will encourage you. So don't go into it with just a me, me, me. You can, but that only lasts for so long. Like it's a two-way street, right? Every relationship is a two-way street. So you want to dive in, get in community, be encouraged. They will. That's so awesome to have someone pray with you. So awesome. All right. So remember that God is faithful to fulfill his promises. Focus our hearts outward. Find encouragement in Christian community. The last key is this. Look forward to Jesus' return. Come, I'm going to say it again. I'll give you another opportunity. Look forward to Jesus' return. Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, yes, you can give God praise, hand clap. That's awesome. Jesus is coming back for his church, his bride. He loves us. He's not leaving us or forsaking us. He's coming back for us. He's going to have established his kingdom on the earth, and there's going to be righteousness that reigns. There's going to be no pain, no sorrow. It's going to be glorious. It's awesome. I encourage you, read the last two books of the last two chapters in the Bible, the book of Revelation. It will encourage you. It will strengthen you. It will build you up. When you get to see the end, that is the blessed hope that we're looking forward to, is that. Hebrews 10:25 says this, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day of Jesus' return, we should encourage each other all the more, with more fervency, more in our heart, more energy, more sincerity, more faith. Love one another, encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. All the more. Something to look forward to. That's the blessed hope. Listen, how are these Christians in third world countries even getting by? Like, we are spoiled in America. Can I just say that? We do not know what it's like to fear for our lives just to be a Christian. Just recently, North Korea has said they're opening up their country to Christianity just recently. That's miraculous that they even said that. Let's pray and believe that that's going to happen. For all of our brothers and sisters who are persecuted, let's pray and believe and encourage them. But listen, here in America, we got to get over our love for pleasures of life and for prosperity. And it's great to experience God's blessing. I'm not saying don't want God's blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. He'll give us an abundance for every good deed. That's why we should want that. But if North Korea sends us nukes, come on. If we get nuked, is that the end of the world? Listen, Jesus said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Don't despair. Don't despair. I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you victory. And just because temporarily it may look like whatever country or countries are going to defeat you, it doesn't matter. God's kingdom is going to reign supreme in the end. Amen. Amen. We do not have to be fearful. We can be hopeful of the future. I encourage you, don't let fear reign, let hope reign. Let faith reign. Let love reign. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain. They're going to remain for eternity. And the greatest of them is love. I'm going to read this passage out of 2 Peter. Just let it paint a picture for you. This is what we're looking forward to. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. Come on. You see that everywhere in media right now. People are scoffing. Like, why are you attacking Jesus? Why are you attacking Christianity? Like, attack Buddha. It's like, they only attack Jesus and Christianity and Christians. They scoff at that. They don't scoff at anything else. And they're following their own evil desires. God bless them. Let's pray for them. Let's share the gospel with them. They will say, where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Like, Jesus hasn't been back. He's not coming. Like, we don't even know if Jesus is real. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He's not, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Why do you think he's waiting? Why do you think he's waiting to come back? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's giving people more time. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us, but God is delaying his second coming, because he's given people more time to respond to the gospel. He's given the church more time to wake up and be the hands and feet of Jesus. He's giving us more time to reach the lost, for people to come to know him. Verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. It's going to come unexpectedly. We don't know when. We don't know the day or the hour. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Whoa. That's what I said when I read that. I was like, whoa. Is God serious? He's serious. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. He's patient. He's not hurrying back because he's wanting people to be saved. Everyone close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's just enter into a time where we invite the Holy Spirit and we want to respond to what we just heard. Very important time right now. Some of you here today and you came in and you're like, man, I needed to hear that. We just got to get our mind on God and be close with God again. You feel far away from God. You feel like you're not at peace with him. God's being patient with you. He loves you. He's being patient with you because he loves you so much. If you're far from God right now, God's saying, don't worry, I want to be close to you again. Or maybe you're here today and you know what? You've never been close to God. You never experienced God in a real way. You've kind of doubted, does God even exist? Or you doubted whether Jesus is the Son of God, or you doubted. But something's changed. You've been on the fence, but God's been working on your heart this morning, and probably for a while. And you feel like now you're ready to take a next step to where you're going to actually trust in him. And you're going to hold on to that blessed hope. You want to have that blessed hope to be with Jesus for all eternity, to have your sins completely forgiven, washed away. Listen, my friend, that's why you're here today. Either to get back on track with God or to start a relationship with him that's real. That's why you're here today. So if any of those two scenarios apply to you, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Just as a sign of faith, say, hey, Pastor Mike, include me in a prayer to make that happen. Go ahead and raise your hand and just say, count me in. Count me in. I want to start that relationship with you. I see you. Thank you. Count me in. Awesome. Anyone else? Be bold. Awesome. Everyone, pray this prayer with him. Help him out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Lead me. Guide me. I surrender. I hold on to the hope of heaven. In Jesus' name. Today, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Come on, give him, just encourage him. Give him a hand clap, welcoming them into God's family.